All right, you have your Bible opened in Psalm 128, and I'm just going to talk to you some from my heart, okay? I just got some things on my mind that, and my heart that I'd like to share with you. Before I get into the message, I want to, Brother Greg Banks, I need to talk with you. I've had someone to contact me about a ride to the church, and I just need to talk to you about that, but for Vacation Bible School. And then Sister Mary, many of you probably saw where Sister Mary DiMartino's mom passed today. She made the passing. And so at the close of our service, we'll have special prayer for the family. I did speak to Sister Mary today, Sharon and I, on a call. And she's a woman of faith. I believe that. And she is resting in the Lord. Thankfully, John is able to be there with her. He had gone out to help. And so he is there with her. I don't think the children are there as of yet, and not sure what their arrangement will be. But let's pray for that family, the DiMartino family, at the close of our service today. Okay? All right. The home. The home. I'll never forget, Pastor David used to testify that when, and I want you just to take this into context, when he would come to our home, he would say he thought we were, you know, that it was just, I can't remember some of the things he would say. It's basically, that's just not real, you know, because he just didn't think that a home could have a man who led and a lady who was faithful and children who were obedient and people who served God and were, they loved one another. And now we had our moments. Of course, we didn't do it in front of Brother David. Now we do. Amen. He's part of it. But anyway, I think there's a lot of people that think that, you know, they just think, well, you know, that biblical definition of a home, that setup, that structure of a home, that's just not so. Before I go any further, let's get these lights up, Brother Dan. Would you turn those lights on, Brother David? I like light. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I like to see who I'm preaching to. I like to look in your eyeballs. The window to the soul. I just like it a lot. Thank you. Thank you, man. So if we're not careful, we'll think, well, you know what? We'll start comparing our homes to people outside of Christianity or people outside of what it can be from a biblical perspective. And I just want you to know, you can have a Bible-based home. You can have a home where you have a godly father who is a strong leader, a faithful wife who is a loving wife and mother, children that are obedient and have a heart for God, who are productive and valuable. And that's really what Psalm 128 is describing here. It talks about the man of the home. It talks about, in verse number 3, the wife. It talks about the children like olive plants, which, by the way, was very, very valuable in that region because of what it produced and the productivity. It took a lot of nurturing now, and it took a lot of care in order for them to, those plants, to produce what was being produced, but it was worth the investment. And that's what's being taught here. When you put the investment into your family, there's going to be, well, productivity. There's going to be reward for the investment. And that's what Psalm 128 is teaching. And so someone has made this statement about the home. It's the dearest place on earth, or it ought to be, and the nearest place to heaven. We've heard this little quaint saying, mid pleasures and palaces, though off I may roam, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. I wonder if it's that way with you. I can remember when I was growing up, my stepfather, he was quite a character now. He was something. And he would go to work, and he would come in, and he would make a statement like this: "It's a jungle out there." You know, you remember someone in your home making that statement: "It's a jungle out there." I'm afraid the jungle's not out there anymore. I'm afraid the jungle's moved inside. And there's a lot of families that, I mean, just all over the place. And I'm not saying that there are here. I don't know what's in your home. I know that the devil has his big guns aimed at your home and my home, and he wants to wreck and ruin and destroy. And God has given us some instruction. And so I want to take just some time and talk with you, about 20 minutes here, okay? 20, 25 minutes, and I want to just talk to you about the home. I sat down at my desk this last week, and I was just reflecting on last Sunday night's message, and I just felt like that I didn't really get across what God wanted me to get across. I do that often. I reflect on what I preach. As a matter of fact, it's quite depressing sometimes. But I do try to bring what God lays on my heart. And it doesn't always come out like God puts it in. And if you're a teacher or a preacher, you know what I'm talking about. And so as I began to reflect, I thought about this. I thought, you know, if I'm going to be the father and the grandfather, if I'm going to be the husband that God wants me to be, I'm going to have balance in my life. Now, this is for everybody. And so I want you just to listen to me, okay? I want you just to take in what I'm saying. This doesn't matter. You could be the father in your home. You could be the mother. You could be the husband, the wife, the child. You could be a grandchild in the family. Balance is very important. We need to have it in our lives, and we need to teach it to our children and our grandchildren. One of the things that has really hampered my spiritual walk with the Lord is not having a proper balance. Anytime that I'm not where I need to be with the Lord, I can always trace it back to where I got out of balance in an area of my life. And so I just want to really lay on you the importance. I want to impress upon your heart how important it is to stay balanced. It's important. And so I sit down and I began to think, what does the Bible say about balance? And I began to kind of look up some, I tried to find some references on it, and I tried to find some commentary on it, and I'm telling you, there's not a whole lot out there. And so I just thought about some things that I personally knew about the Bible and my own experience of my Bible study, and these are 10 things that I came up with, and you could probably come up with more, but the Bible teaches balance in these areas. Number one, zeal and knowledge. It's okay to be zealous, and it's okay to have knowledge, but they need to balance one another. That goes in your home too. And I'm saying this mainly for the home. Number two, honor and humility. The Bible teaches both, and it's good to have a balance in these areas. Number three, work and rest. I talked about that this morning. Work. We teach our children in industry, and we ought to teach our children industry. So don't listen. I'm saying that all of this is needed, but not just one side of it. God wants a balance. Teach your children industry, but teach them tranquility. Teach them to rest. Teach them there's a time to work. The Word of God teaches this in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is probably a commentary on some of the things I'm talking to you about. There's a time to work, but there's a time to rest. Study and prayer. You know, if you're not careful, you'll be studying a lot and praying a little, or you'll be praying a lot and studying a little. There needs to be a balance. You know, when you look at the early church, those men, they said, you know what? We're going to give ourselves to what? The Word of God and prayer. They were balanced, and that's why God used them. I want to stay balanced. I believe you want to stay balanced. But if I'm not careful, I'll find myself doing a lot of Bible reading, and I'm not trying to sound like I'm something because I don't do near as much as I ought to, but I do read my Bible. I study my Bible and not praying as I should. Or I'll find myself spending more time in prayer and not studying as I should. But God wants a balance in our life, a balance. I thought about this, worship and service. You know, you can't be unbalanced in that. You can't just be a person who says, I want to work for God. You'll never really work for God until you worship God. Worship produces work for God. Worship produces service. But there has to be a balance, right? Is that what the Bible teaches? This is just some things. It's balance. We need to teach our children this. There's balance in life. Something else I thought about. Family and friends. Thank God for friends. But you know what? Your family is very, very important. Don't forsake your family for friends. Don't do that. And don't hoard yourself and isolate yourself and become recluse with your family and forget friends. The Bible says if a man's to have friends, he must show himself friendly. It's good to have friends. Amen. I don't need any friends. Well, you know what? It's not all about you. Maybe somebody needs you as a friend. You ever thought of that? Maybe you could be a blessing to somebody by being their friend. Don't look at every relationship as benefiting you. Sometimes God puts us in relationships to benefit others. Sometimes we come to church not just to get what we can get, but to give something that's going to help someone. You may come to church encouraged, but there may be somebody sitting across from you that's discouraged, and God's going to use your encouragement to encourage that discouraged one. And so we need to view it that way. Personal and social. There's a time to be alone. There is. But there's a time to be sociable too. That's right. But you can't always be sociable. Sometimes we just need to get in the closet. Isn't that what Jesus said? Sometimes it's just good for it to be God and I. Amen. That's right. So I'm a social bug. Well, that's good. That's good. I think it's great. I do. But I tell you, I just believe we'd be better off if we just spent some alone time too. It's just about balance. It's about balance. I need to spend time alone. It's kind of a decompression time for me. I like to just be alone. And if you've never done that, I want to encourage you. Just spend some time alone with God. It's good. It's just good. So there's social and there's social. There's the body, and we put a lot of emphasis on the body, and we should. The Bible says that body exercise profiteth, but it's just a little, but it does profit. I heard one man say, since it just profits a little, I'm going to just do it a little. Amen. And I think we followed his advice on that one. But then there's the spirit and the soul. You know, God said, Paul wrote over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that our body, our soul, and spirit be blameless before the Lord. And so we need to be balanced in the way that we care for ourselves, our body. When we ought to care for our body. Y'all not let your body go. You ought to care for your soul and your spirit, your mental and your spiritual aspect and part of life. This is just balance and things. There's a time to speak, but there's a time to listen. Right? You know, when I was growing up, children were taught that. That's right. There's time to speak, but there's time to listen. And I was taught, your time is to listen. You know, you don't get much time to speak. You earn that in the presence of adults. Now, that's the way I was brought up. And maybe you were not brought up that way. How many of you were brought up that way? You were taught when there's adults in the room, you just need you to listen. Now, I'm not saying that's all right. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that what we do need to do is we need to teach children, we need to teach young people, earn your spot, right? You don't just walk in and take a spot. You earn your spot. You gain that respect. Wait your turn. You know, everything just doesn't come to you because you're you. You wait for that. And these are things that need to be taught our children. And so these are just things of balance. And here's the last one. They're speaking, and there's a time to speak, but there's a time to listen. This is for all of us, not just for young people. This is for all of us. Sometimes we just need to zip it and listen. We need to study to be quiet sometimes. The Bible says that. And then there's give and receive. There's a time to give, but there's a time to receive. And listen, if we don't receive, if we all are receivers, who's going to be the giver? If we're all givers, who's going to be the receiver? There's just a time. There's a time to give, but there's a time to receive. It's okay to receive if God is in it. So, you know, these are just a few things. It's balance. And if we're not careful, we'll forget how important it is to be balanced in life. I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes. Now, you're in the book of Psalms. Turn back toward the New Testament, a couple of books. Psalms, and then go past to Proverbs, and then you have Ecclesiastes. And I want you to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to read some of that chapter to you. And I want you to see how important it is to understand this balance. Because we need it. We need it in our homes. You know, we get so unbalanced. I just see people get so unbalanced. And they're all in, will I say, for youth sports. They're just all in youth sports. I'm not opposed to youth sports. I'm not. I think it could be a great thing. I do. I enjoy sports. I used to enjoy playing them. I enjoy watching them more than I do playing them now. I thought that would never happen, and my wife thought it would never happen. She still doesn't believe it's happened, but it's, you know, it just, I enjoy sports, but if we're not careful, some people are absolutely consumed. It'll take your life. You'll become unbalanced with that, and it'll really hurt you and it'll hurt your children. Here in Ecclesiastes, the Bible, and you know this passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I want you to see something. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. And then he talked about a time to be born, a time to die. But then get down to verse number 4. It says, a time to weep and a time to laugh. You know, some people are afraid to weep. They're just afraid that it's going to show weakness. Can I tell you that crying is not weakness? Jesus wept. The strongest individual that ever walked the face of the earth shed tears. He wept. He was moved. There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. And I begin to look at this, and it says there's a time, in verse number 4, there's a time to mourn, there's a time to dance. We had a lady at the church a couple of weeks ago. I thought she was going to break into a holy dance. That didn't shake me up. I'm serious. It didn't shake me up. That wouldn't shake me up. I think I've seen 2-3 people in my life do what I would consider a holy dance. And I've seen some people try to put on a show and create a circus, but I've seen 2-3 people in my life who I believe was under the direct influence of the Holy Spirit, and they were just worshiping God, and they wasn't gyrating and trying to draw attention to themselves. I have zero problem with that. So, well, I have a problem with it. Well, now, you know, you be careful about how you have a problem and what you have a problem with. The Bible says right here, there's a time, look at it, verse number 4, to mourn, there's time to dance. The Spirit of God gets on you and you get happy, and it's for the Lord now. I'm not talking about drawing attention to yourself. You do what God tells you to do. I believe this, God tells you to do it, it'll be okay. I just believe that. It'll line up with the Word too. Amen. Now I want you to look down, if you would, in Ecclesiastes, look at verse number 10. He said, I have seen the travail which God hath given the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now watch this. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. You know, the Bible teaches in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 that we are to enjoy everything that God has given us. God has given us all things richly in life to enjoy. What enjoy life? And so I want to take just a few moments in the time that I have, and I want to talk to you about enjoying your family. All right? We're so stressed. We're strung so tight. There's a lot of pressure put on us in life. And sometimes it's good just to unwind and just to have a time of laughter. I've done a little research on laughter. All right, I want you to turn to Proverbs. You're in Ecclesiastes. Turn back now to Proverbs chapter 17. And I just want to I want to share some things that I've done a little research on. Proverbs 17. I'm going to read 2 or 3 verses of Scripture out of the Proverbs. Proverbs 17. You know this verse of Scripture. Proverbs 17. Look, if you would, in verse number 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Can I tell you that our world is sick from no laughter? There's a saddened sickness that has just gripped our world. People no longer have fun. They laugh at their own things. They don't even know what to laugh at anymore. They, they, they laugh and make fun, and they attack people, and they think that's funny with some of this humor that's being passed off as comedy. That it's filthy, it's destructive, it's disgusting. We don't even know what to laugh at anymore. And it's because our society is sick. And yet the Bible says here in verse number, chapter 17, that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Can I tell you, I have spoken to so many Christians in my pastorate as a pastor. They needed a prescription. And this is it. They needed some laughter. When's the last time your families just laughed until you couldn't hardly catch your breath? You know? Huh? Has that happened recently? Where you just laugh? And sometimes you just laugh and you wonder, what are we laughing about? You know, you're just laughing because you're enjoying life. You're enjoying one another. You're just enjoying what God has done and what God has given you in life. Laughter. Laughter's good. Laughter's good, brethren. Some people just don't even know how to laugh. I read this about laughter and I thought, boy, that's good. That's good. Someone has defined humor as a gentle way to acknowledge human frailty. That's right. Did you know that people who are secure in their awareness of God's love and who have experienced His love and forgiveness are free to laugh? That's right. You can laugh at yourself. I remember the glad day of my life that I could begin to laugh at myself. You remember that? Boy, I used to get so upset when other people laughed at me because I didn't know how to laugh at myself. And that's where they could really get me, is they'd laugh at me. But when you can learn to laugh at yourself, they're laughing, well, just join yours. Laughter, it's good for us. It's good for us. Now, I'm not talking about silly, mindless frivolity or irresponsibility or carelessness. Rather, I'm just talking about getting together with family and having a good time. Whether it's playing a game or doing activity or just telling stories or reflecting back on memories, just laughing. Just having a good old time of jubilant laughter where you just laugh and you just carry on and just have a grand old time. Your children need that. You know what laughter does? Notice what the scripture said. Look at it again in verse number 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You know what laughter does? Laughter kind of drives away contention and tension. It kind of brings relief. As a matter of fact, I was reading and doing a little research, and I ran across this, and I thought, that is good. I'm going to read it. It's a medical statement, and it says this about laughter. Today's doctors have finally caught up with God's Word in this matter of laughter. For now, doctors tell us that a hearty laugh is a great exercise. When you admit an explosion, a guffaw, I guess is the way, explosive guffaw, I don't know what that is. I'm going to say it's laughter. You get doctors involved and you start getting words you don't know how to pronounce or read. They say your diaphragm descends deep into your body and your lungs expand, greatly increasing the amount of oxygen being taken into them. At the same time, it also expands sideways the diaphragm and it gives your heart a gentle rhythmic massage. That noble organ responds by beating faster and harder. Circulation speeds up. Liver, stomach, pancreas, spleen, gallbladder are all stimulated. Your entire system gets an invigorating lift. You say, what's that mean? That means that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Laughter, it's good for you. It's good just to laugh. That's right. When's the last time you just got together with friends or family and instead of talking about the gas prices or the grocery bill or the power bill or inflation or Biden or Trump or you know, the trouble this world's in or China or Ukraine or Russia or the world coming to an end, where you just began to laugh and praise God and thank God for His goodness and look back over your life and say, my God sure has been good to us, amen. Just laugh. Praise God and enjoy. Instead of just get together and talk about all this stuff that just binds and breaks and ties you in a knot. He said that laughter doeth good, or a merry heart, in verse number 22, like a medicine, but a broken spirit. Emotions can make you ill. We have people in the medical profession here that can confirm that statement. Is that right, folks? Bad emotion, tension, stress, worry causes a lot of physical problems. It can make your hair fall out by the hands full. Bring on splitting headaches, clog nasal passages, make your eyes and nose water, tighten the throat, make skin break out in rash, cause dental problems, plague you with ulcers, cause problems in reproductive organs, and even bring death. Stress. A broken spirit. So you have to purpose in your heart. We have a choice, brethren. We have a choice. I found out a long time ago, I can't always control what happens to me, but I can control how I respond to it. You can too. We have a choice. I don't always get to call the shot on what my day is going to be, but I do get to call the shot on how I'm going to live it. You do too. I don't get to call the shot if I'm going to receive good news or bad news, but I do get to call the shot on how I'm going to respond to that. Am I going to receive it and say, well, you know what? God knows what is best. We just heard it tonight. God knows what's best. And if that's what's ahead for me, to God be the glory. I'm going to trust Him. Amen. Proverbs. Turn over, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 12. We'll look at a couple more scriptures and then I'll wrap this up, okay? I just think that it's good that we would learn what it is to laugh. I love to laugh. This is going to sound a little bit carnal. But one of my favorite old shows was Mary Poppins. And I can't remember old Uncle whatever his name was, but he loved to laugh. Remember old I love to laugh guy? Am I the only person that watched Mary Poppins? I got a laugh out of you. Okay. Now, do you feel invigorated? Anyway, there was an old uncle on there. If you've seen Mary Poppins, I'd like to tell you. If you haven't, you watch it and you'll see what I'm talking about. He said, I love to laugh. He made a song up about I love to laugh. You know, he was just jovial and happy and, jovial. I'm sorry. Laughing's good for us. God said so. Now, there's a time for it, but it's good for you. It relieves tension in your body. Now, listen to me now. It relieves tension in your soul, but it'll relieve tension in your home, too. Some people's homes are so full of tension, arguing and debating and just, brethren, please. It's not healthy. Proverbs 12. Notice, if you would, in verse number 25, I believe it is. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Can I say something to the fathers on this Father's Day? You can change a lot of what's going on in your home by just using a good word from time to time. Sometimes that thing could go either way depending on how we approach it. And if we say the wrong word, it's going to go in the wrong direction. I'm telling you. But we can say the right word and take it in another direction. And here the scripture says that heaven is in chapter 12 and verse number 25, and the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. You know, just a good word spoken in due season. It's easy to come in and find something to complain about or something to rail on or a negative. But the Bible says here that it's, you know, choose your words carefully. Use them carefully. Turn to Proverbs 15, if you would. In Proverbs 15, there's a lot of scripture about laughter. There's a lot of scripture about the importance of laughter and fun and spending time with your family. Satan wants you to be grim and no fun and serious all the time and high tension and just stressed all the time and worry all the time and wringing your hands. And listen, that's a terrible way to live life. That's a poor testimony for Christ. Proverbs 15, notice if you would in verse number 13. A merry heart, Proverbs 15 verse 13, are you there? A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. What about that? So I don't look happy. That's just the way I look. No, you don't look happy because you don't have a merry heart. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. I'm telling you what the book says. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Verse number 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on affliction. All the days of the afflicted are evil. Now watch this. But he that is of a merry heart, and I love this statement, hath a continual feast. Amen. Feasting. When you have a merry heart, you have a continual feast. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what's served before you. It doesn't matter. You're just continually feasting on the goodness of God. A merry heart does that. A merry heart. So you say, well, preacher, what am I to do? Well, I would recommend this. I would recommend a little laughter in your home. A little less tension. You say, well, I don't have a whole lot of tension in my home. Well, that's good. I think that's a good thing. There's a time. I want to give you three things about your children. I wrote them down here, and I thought, what could I say that would help the families of Fellowship Baptist Church that have children in their home when it comes to raising their children? So I know how to raise my children. Well, you know what? You can always use a little extra. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. I took all the advice that was given to me, and then I would take the advice, and I would process it, and I would use what I felt like God wanted me to use, and what I didn't think he wanted me to use, I didn't. I wrote these three words down. I hope you'll write them down. Okay? When it comes to raising your children, be firm. So when I say have fun and laugh, I don't mean let the rules go. Be firm, have rules. You can have fun and have rules. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. As a matter of fact, when you take out the rules, the fun will stop. Yeah. Be firm. Be firm. Have rules. And expect those rules to be followed. And when they're broken, there needs to be consequences. Swift and immediate. Get it over. Be firm. Number two. Be fair. You mess up, you've got to be able to say, hey, Dad messed up. Oh, but Dad never messes up. Well, yeah, Dad messes up. Yeah, he does. Yeah. Be fun. Firm. Be fair. Be fun. I think that's three good words that we could incorporate into our homes. And I really believe it's in that manner, in that order. Be firm. Set some ground rules. Set some guidelines and say, these are guidelines that are going to be followed in this home. And then be fair. Be fair. Evaluate. Don't expect your children to do things that you're not willing to do. Don't have a double standard. And this is hard for us parents. It's hard. But it must be followed through. You know, be fair now. And then finally, be fun. Just because you're a parent and just because you have ground rules and you have expectations and you're firm doesn't mean that you can't be fun. You can be fun. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet.